Welcome to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners, a podcast where we share resources, thoughts, and opinions on all things creative leadership. Thanks for joining this week's check-in, which kicks off with a quick huddle, then moves into the review, then the highlights, and ends with the high five.
So, last day in Dubai, feeling kind of sick. I'm also that person who cannot sit still. Like, I'm not going to sit in my hotel room while I'm in another country and I have this one opportunity. So I'm like, the tourist in me is pushing myself. So I get an Uber. There's Uber in Dubai. Get an Uber to the Burj Khalifa. It's about a 30-minute drive. There's a road rage incident while I'm in my Uber. It
really?
Was insane. The driver swerved. I was like, please don't. Like, just thinking, I don't want to die here. Anyway, get to the Burj Khalifa. It's a big shopping mall, essentially. Get in the line. You know, you're taken through lines upon lines. You're with a bunch of other tourists. I'm by myself thinking, why am I doing this? You know, get in the elevator, 77 seconds to get up 125 floors, which admittedly is pretty cool.
That I wanted to, because that's where my curiosity was. It's like, yeah, because I know the elevator in my building and it is slow as molasses, and that's six floors. No,
this is fast, but you're also in an elevator with about 75 other people with zero personal space. All I could think was, if this thing stops, it will be mayhem and no one speaks English.
Well, so, naturally, you would just take over leadership, right? And say, listen to me, I will get you home.
Oh my gosh, as the tallest person on the elevator. So yeah, it was cool. I got up to the 148th floor. You can actually go outside, which is pretty cool, and look up. The thing about look up to the top of the building, because that's not even the highest you can actually go in the building. Yeah, really, really cool. The city is really neat because there's just tons of modern architecture. So you're just seeing like tons of cool buildings and lights. And, you know, I will say, like, I probably will never do another observation deck. Like, I've done them. We did them in Japan. At least in Japan, I got to see Mount Fuji, you know, from afar.
That's
but
cool.
From there, it's kind of like, all right, I'm good. I've seen this. I'm out of here. I'm done getting bumped into by sweaty tourists. Yep. The one thing that I got on the way down was Juliet and Sylvie begged me to get some Dubai chocolate while I was there.
Okay.
They're $30 a chocolate bar.
$30
a chocolate bar. They were really good. So I ended up getting a bunch more at the duty free on the way out. But the one that I got at the Burj Khalifa was by far the best. It's basically this crunchy chocolate. You take a bite into it and just this pistachio stuff like oozes out of it. It's just like crunchy and delicious. So yeah, that was
all right.
My tourist experience in Dubai.
Well, that's there we go. I was going to ask you, like, what's been on your mind this week, but sounds like going up how many floors again? 140 in.
I went to 148. You could go up to 154 for like $100 more. I was like, okay, no thanks.
Yeah. All right. And chocolate. Who knew?
Yeah. Well, let's jump into the huddle. So we haven't really been in communication that much this week because I got back and was deathly ill. But what have you been thinking about?
I've been thinking a lot about team resiliency, and you know, with the last couple of blog posts that I wrote on how employee engagement right now is, you know, at, I wouldn't call them all time lows, but we're definitely in a huge, you know, kind of historical slump. And just thinking about those folks, like even the folks that aren't working or trying to work, and the people that are at work, like engagement seems to be a huge issue. And I think some of that could be attributed to just all the stuff that's going on in the world. And it's, you know, unrelenting. It's not going to stop. Right. And so just thinking about like, what could be done to help teams, you know, push forward, not at the cost of being human, but just you got to put one foot in front of the other. You have to continue. And what are some things that, you know, teams could learn to become a little bit more resilient, just so they can get things done. So that's a big topic, but that's what's been on my mind in the last week.
Mine too, for sure. In the face of all of these layoffs, you and I were just talking about Microsoft now laying people off.
It
Big
continues.
tech is just continues to be gutted, and no one feels, well, not no one, but a lot of us don't feel good about it for a lot of reasons. And so I think it's team resiliency, but I also think it's individual resiliency and thinking about what do I want here? Is this where I want to be? Is this where I want to go? Like, what can I get behind in this moment? I think is a lot of what's been on my mind in that realm.
I like that. What can I get behind? What am I here for? All right. Well, let's get into the review. This week we published two Team Engel articles on encouraging inclusivity in meetings, and I want to be very careful. It's a, like, you know, again, continues to be more of a loaded word. Inclusivity just meaning sure that everybody on the team has a voice and everybody is contributing, and what the positive outcomes of getting everyone to contribute can have, you know, the positive impact that can have on the team, on morale, on your outcomes. Just, you know, make sure that everybody has is able to and is using their voice. So if you haven't checked those out, it kind of does go a little hand in hand with this individual and, you know, kind of team resiliency. That's going to go a long way. So check them out if you haven't already. But Brett, you found that video from the Airbnb CEO basically saying like one-on-ones are dumb. I don't spend time on them. They have no value. And I know that, you know, both you and I, if you kind of want to piss us off, start there.
Basically, I mean, yeah. So on LinkedIn video is now a thing. We'll be posting video there soon. Side note. Yeah, saw this interview video with Brian Chesky from Airbnb, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Essentially, it was like one-on-ones are a waste of time. Listening to employees, you end up playing therapist. Lots of just more of this toxic tech bro bullshit, if I'm being honest. And I'm just so over it. I think right when I had seen that, I had read an article that Nancy Lyons wrote about Mark Zuckerberg and how, essentially he came out and said, leaders need to bring more masculine energy to the table or something like that. I'm paraphrasing, but it's just like obnoxious and disgusting and honestly like really embarrassing as a man in this industry to think that that's where leaders of these major companies think we should go is just disgusting and embarrassing. And I think that's like, we think a lot of this is nonsense, but I saw it and I saw what Nancy said in her article about, leading with humanity and empathy. And I buy right into that. That quote is right in my article. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about that today, not just about the value of one-on-ones, because that is a topic that I think you and I are really invested in, and we're going to have a guide for one-on-ones coming out soon that will go hand in hand with our conversation deck. So let's start there with the value of one-on-ones. Why do you think some leaders are just so quick to dismiss one-on-ones like that?
Well, if I look at what Brian was talking about, there's two reasons. One is I know there are a lot of people, probably men in particular, who don't know how to engage one-on-one. And they have a lot of insecurity, right? So especially anybody who's pushing away one-on-ones, that to me is like an early warning signal for you are insecure in your job. You are dealing with imposter syndrome on another level, right? And then imposter syndrome is probably pushing these folks to do things like, hey, the one-on-one, the employee or the teammate owns the agenda. When I heard that, I had never heard anybody say that before, But it took me
Right.
back to when I worked at Envision in particular, when I would meet with my my boss, the guy that I reported into, and I was the first couple of times I was looking for cues from him of what are you noticing? What do you need me to work on? What do you want me to improve? What do you whatever it is, I'm coming to you to participate and at least lead the conversation starting there. And instead, I would get this, here's a Google Doc, put your bullet points in on things you want to talk about, and that's it. So that was so weird to me, like such a weird prompt of not like, why am I doing this? Or, but all of a sudden, I'm having to come up with this. And when I saw Brian talking about it, it clicked and was like, oh, of course, this is the idiot's guide to one-on-one because these guys don't know what they're doing. They've had no training. They're not curious. They just see this as a thing that they have to do because of their position, but they don't really want to
Right.
because
I'll
they're
talk
not
to the
getting anything
underlings
out of
because
it.
somebody says I have to. But it's
Right.
really
And
this feeling of like you're not worth my time. I can get more people into a room and solve more problems than if I do just talking to you. And by doing that, they're eliminating any opportunity for that person to feel valued in that moment, that person to express any kind of feeling, whether it's positive or negative, it doesn't have to be freaking therapy. And like you said, like the idea of the attendee or the employee owning the agenda, it's like
That's no, that's
you're the
wrong.
leader here, dude. You're the leader.
Do your job. And it not at the same time, the person everyone should contribute. Go back to what I just said about inclusion on teams, right? Like if people are meeting, both people need to have some say in like what they're going to talk about. And for a leader shouldn't be, this isn't therapy. This is give me your perspective. I mean,
Right.
I can't tell you how many times I've learned something new or just had that like, ah, now I get, now I get it because someone that I was, one-on-one with gave me that perspective that I was missing.
Right.
Right.
I
And it
did
had
it three
nothing to do
times this
with
week.
me. Yeah, it
No,
had nothing
it's
to
not
do with
you.
me having to know everything. That's the whole point. This is not just a top down, let me make you feel better about who you are, little snowflake. If
Right.
that's how you treat one-on-ones, you are so misguided
Right.
and you're also missing out so much on not only your own growth, but the person that you're leading their growth to, right?
Agree. I
So
agree.
I just when I saw that, not that I've ever like thought, oh, I want to work at Airbnb so bad, but oh my God, I never want to work there. If that's how the CEO and if that's what all these tech bros, if that's how they really feel, I don't want no part of it.
Let's talk about the tech bro thing for a minute because I feel like this is big news, right? Like this is not just you and I talking about something we're seeing. Like this is now impacting our government, right? This is not only impacting our industry, it's now these bozos showing up at the inauguration and being there. And showing up with this quote unquote masculine energy, right? So how do you feel like comments like Zuckerberg's or even Brian Chesky, like he didn't come out and say anything that was like overly masculine air quotes with that, right? But there is this sense of lack of inclusivity, lack of empathy, lack of even caring about the human beings who are getting the work done. It's this idea of goals and metrics over people, right? So how does that kind of rhetoric hurt workplace culture?
So we've seen this before. The canary in the coal mine was Basecamp,
Yes.
right?
Yes.
This is and if you don't know about the Basecamp story, look it up, get ready to cringe, but look it up. But I mean, this is what happened at Basecamp. It is because I don't know how to work with this and Now I misunderstand it as I need to hold your hand, I need to provide therapy. That's not what we do here, right? So it's a misunderstanding based on misinterpretation, based on a lack of awareness, skills, training, that's founded on insecurity, right? So there's the chain of events that gets to how do you turn the workplace into toxic male bullshit? And so I think you just have to take a look at what happened to base camp, and that now is going to be reflected in the world at large, except for those places that say, hey, no, we're not going to do that here.
To me, it's kind of like, and I think Tracy Halverson commented something to this effect on my LinkedIn post, but like, what is work or a corporation aside from people showing up and getting together to get things done together, right? Like that is all we're trying to do. We're human beings showing up at a table, meeting some goals, trying to follow some kind of like internal kind of like norms and operations. But at the end of the day, we're human beings. And if you as a leader can't recognize that we all show up with different points of view and different needs at different times, then you're not equipped to manage not just a business, but the people in that business. And the minute that you bring in a comment about your meetings becoming therapy is the minute that you're obviously doing something wrong. It's not that person, it's you. I've been in situations where the person that I'm managing and I'm running a one-on-one meeting with is clearly in need of therapy and is going through something really serious. Do you think I'm just going to turn that person away and act like this is not something we should handle? Like, come on. It's just unbelievable to me. All of it is just, it's so disgusting. I guess my kind of like, in terms of like takeaways here, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on like how you think leaders can balance this idea of the corporate grind and meeting these ambitious goals while also creating a psychologically safe environment for their team to do that work in a positive way.
I mean, to me, the most obvious is it starts with the one-on-one, right? Of, I mean, that should be.
Does it start with the one-on-one though? I feel like it starts with values and if inspecting some values, and obviously if people are not a part of your values or the interactions you have within teams are not a part of what you value, then that's your first problem.
You're right. I was thinking more of tactically, but it is. It's based in, it starts there, right? Of like, what are the values? But also then is how grounded are we in values? So I've worked in places where, like IBM, I'm sure there were values somewhere. And although I take that back. IBM did have values, and I take that back. They did adhere to them. It's just I don't remember anybody saying these are our eight values.
Oh,
But
few
if
companies
I
do
look
that.
at USAA, which is very member focused, they wore the values on the sleeve. Like every meeting was begun with a reminder of what the values are. That was the very first slide that had to be in every presentation. Just reminding everybody what our values are, right?
I love
Which
that.
was
It
incredibly
grounds people in
grounding.
conversations. Yes.
Yeah, it was incredibly grounding and very impactful because everybody could remember and recite those values, right? And part of that conversation was tying what the mission is, the purpose of that meeting back to those values, right? That was how you had to start off every meeting. But in working in other places, in fact, I was working with a team not too long ago, and the question of values and principles came up, and the employees said, well, I know we have some, but I don't know what those are. Right. So, again, that's an early warning sign. But then I go back to tactically speaking, I feel like that's not that I feel I know the one-on-ones are a place to have those conversations. And then as the leader, you should be taking notes of like, hey, I'm hearing this four or five times on a team of six or a team of eight even. This probably requires a group conversation, right? We probably should talk about this or have a dedicated conversation about, whatever it is that's coming up.
I think for me, my response to my own question is, as a leader, don't forget that your success rests on the success of everyone who works for you. And so if you're not supporting those people and lifting them up and hearing them out, then you're not going to be successful. And if you take this negative kind of like toxic stance of everyone is replaceable because they don't fall in line with you and the way that you want to be, then you're doing it wrong and you're never going to get what you need, because the best performance you're going to get out of people comes through you supporting them and showing them that you are a good leader and that you do want them to do well.
Well, and my last thought on this, how many places, or how many times have you heard, how many times have you seen where a team goes through leaders like every 6 months, right? And I think back to those cultures, and that kind of a work environment isn't doing anything to support the leader's success grounded in the team's success, right? It just demonstrates that the leaders come and go. And they're not attached to the team in any way. They're just there at that point of figurehead.
Also, just because you had a good idea, like Mark Zuckerberg, doesn't mean that you're meant to be a leader.
No.
Step back and let a real person run your business.
Go to your island and fall off the face of the earth.
Thank you. Goodbye. Deleted
Bye.
Facebook. All right, let's move on to the ask. What do we have this week?
This week, our ask is personal. We would like to hear, and I have no idea how many people are actually listening to this podcast, but we would like to hear from you. We would very much like to know what's top of mind for you. What's going on? What are you dealing with? What's affecting your engagement, or for good or bad? But we just love to hear from everybody and just hear how you're doing. That's
Yeah,
the
so
ask.
reach out, high5@sameteampartners.com.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the hit list. What are you reading, watching, listening to this week?
Okay, so my first one is reading, and you and I have talked about this. Like, Rolling Stone has like suddenly become an
Yep.
amazing publication again, and there's an
Yep.
article along the lines of what we're talking about today, how tech billionaires screwed us all. And it's a really good read, so I definitely recommend checking that out.
Yep, check it out. Subscribe. Rolling Stone's where it's at right now. My first one is kind of a blast from the past. And I didn't read it when it first came out, but it's the book Generation X by Douglas Copeland. And I don't know if like this is the book that basically dubbed our generation, gave it the name that it is. And I remember when it first came out, and I didn't read it. And I was pleasantly surprised that to find that there's a special 30th anniversary edition. Weirdly enough,
We're old.
you cannot get an EPUB version of this book. There, you can't, so you have to actually buy a physical book. So, yeah,
He's a good writer
digging
too.
in.
Read a bunch of his books. My next link is listening. I've been listening to this album called Stampede by Orville Peck. I don't know if you've heard of Orville Peck. He's kind of like a country singer. He's a
That would be
very
why.
unique, deep voice. He also kind of sounds like Erasure sometimes, so you might
Really?
like him. Yes. And this album is a bunch of collaborations, so check it out.
Okay. My listening for this week is the album Splinter from Sneaker Pimps. And this is going to sound stupid, but I didn't know this album existed. It came out in the 90s. The late early 90s. Anyway, it came out in the 90s after the Sneaker Pimps album Becoming X. So there's a theme here, right? But anyway, I can't stop listening to this. It's kind of like I'm playing catch up from all the years, the decades that I
Yeah,
missed not
early
listening to this.
2000s.
I love
Interesting.
Sneaker Pimps.
Cool. My last one is watching. So, and I sent this to you over text the other night because I got really excited because we all know how much I love Joshua Tree. But this band, Rufus Du Sol, who I know that I've mentioned in the High Five in the past, they have a live performance in Joshua Tree. It is so cool. They're just like on the side of like a ridge with all of these like LED lights set up, and like the sun goes down and the music is so good.
Yeah.
Check it out.
My watching is American Primeval, and I know it's not spelled as you might think it is, but I looked it up like six different ways, and that's how you pronounce it, American Primeval. Anyway, it's the limited series on Netflix about the American West. It's brutal, like super brutal, but it's just such a good kind of captured, collected, American West story.
I'll check that out as I'm glued to the TV and sick for the rest of the weekend.
Yes.
All right, let's move into the high five. What are we high fiving this week?
All right. This is almost laughable by now.
Yeah, just a little.
But we went to go order our card deck, what, like 2 months ago? It
Yeah.
feels like it was 2 months ago.
Yeah, it definitely
And
was.
that order has been held up and held up and held up and held up by issues and problems with our manufacturer in their accepting our design, which is weird because we ordered test decks before and it wasn't an issue. But anyway, I got the email yesterday that our artwork has passed inspection. It's on its way to the printers, probably being printed right now. So we should finally have cards for sale in the very,
Yay.
very, very near future. I can't believe it's taken.
High five. Check out our shop. I also want to mention we've sold a couple shirts because we do have shirts live in our shop.
We do.
Cards are coming soon. We've got other decks that Greg's been brainstorming on. So excited about where that's going.
Buy our
Excited about
merch, buy our
all of it.
stuff.
Yes, buy our stuff, please. All
Yeah.
right.
High
High five,
five.
Greg.
All
Have a
right.
great weekend.
You too.
Thanks for listening to the Weekly High Five. Like what you're hearing? Visit sameteampartners.com to schedule a free consultation with Brett and Greg. Also, follow or subscribe to the Weekly High Five with Same Team Partners. Share this episode with your network and send them a review. Thank you.